This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehia Swuhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
The situation in Goma is calmer today. There's not been shooting, and so people are about to venture outside for the day today.
That's Zihindula Mulegwa, attorney and former spokesman for former DRC President Joseph Kabila, on how the eastern city of Goma appears to be getting back to normal. Details coming up also. South Africa is shocked by U.S. President Donald Trump's announcement he will cut all American aid to the country. And Ugandan officials are preparing to deploy a trial vaccine as part of efforts to stem out the outbreak of Ebola. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. But first, our top story. After a week of fighting, rebels allegedly backed by Rwanda have taken almost full control over Goma, a city of 2 million in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. Our reporter in Goma, Sabiti Jafar Al-Katanti, briefing me on the latest, says hospitals are overflowing with the wounded and the city morgue with the dead.
The city is now a city. People are starting their business, and today even the shops start opening, and for now, and people are now happy because they can now start making money, except banks which are still closed.
Jafar, since January 26, more than 700 people have been killed and nearly 3,000 have been wounded in the city and its vicinity, according to officials. So we have reports here about overcrowded hospitals in Goma dealing with the wounded. Can you talk to us a little about that?
Exactly. All hospitals of Goma are really full, and I can even say they are overloaded, because I personally talked to a doctor at Bethesda Hospital who said that they have the triple of their capacity in terms of wounded person. And the record can't be 300, because only Bethesda Hospital recorded 400 person from the weekend which Goma fell in. And this is a really problem, because today the morgue of Goma Hospital had started to bury bodies, as the morgue is full of bodies.
And you're so right. And there's also, I presume, fears of disease spreading as the morgues overflow.
That's what WHO said. They helped the Congolese Red Cross, which was supported by the ICRC, to start burying the body in order to stop or to prevent a disease, because body were in bad conditions. As you know, I am talking about body in the condition of decomposition.
Is there any fighting in any part of Goma right now?
No. Now Goma is calm. The M23 has the entire control of Goma. Fightings are some 50 kilometers southwest of Goma in Kalehe territory, in South Kivu province. And also in the north of North Kivu, fightings are in Lubero territory, very far, around 200 kilometers. But in the city of Goma, everything is calm. People are under M23 control now.
What else can you tell us that's going on in Goma, Jafar?
A week after the war, today, the bishop of the Catholic Church returned back in Goma from Gisenyi. The bishop left the city for his safety and security, and his return showed that now the city is safe and calm.
When he returns, that means he has actually recognized the leadership of M23?
Not exactly. He returned because of the war, the fighting in the city. He fled the war, and now he returned because the city is safe, not because he recognized. He is not someone to recognize or to do not recognize. But one thing I know, the boss of the Catholic Church in the country, the Cardinal of Kinshasa, will do some meetings with the president of DRC, then with M23 and other opponents, in order to figure out a way of peace talks so that the country gets peace.
That was reporter Sabiti Jafar Al-Ketanti speaking with me from Goma. As we just reported, the fall of Goma has rattled Africa, prompting international condemnation and fears of a humanitarian crisis. Residents and journalists say the eastern DRC's largest city is cautiously starting to come back to life after several days of fighting between Congolese forces and the M23 fighters, allegedly backed by Rwandan troops. Over the weekend, the Congolese Red Cross and the International Committee of the Red Cross said at least 700 people were killed and 2,800 wounded in the fight for control of Goma. To provide perspective on the war, Zihandula Mulagwa, attorney and former spokesman for former DRC President Joseph Kabila, spoke to VOA's Paul Ndiho. He says the rebels have vowed to march on to the capital, Kinshasa.
The town of Goma is now firmly in the hands of the M23, the AFC, and their Rwandan allies. This is what I'm hearing from everybody. The situation in Goma is calmer today. There's not been shooting, and so people are about to go to venture outside for the day today.
You talked about the Rwandan allies, but Rwanda has on numerous occasions denied their involvement in the Congo. They say unequivocally that they are not present in the Congo, and if anything, that M23 rebels are Congolese, they are not Rwandans.
Nobody can doubt that the M23 are from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Many of the people in the M23, even more so the AFC, which is led by Mr. Corneille Nangaa. So there's nobody disputing the fact that the principal leaders inside of the M23 are from the Democratic Republic of Congo, including their president and other people. But that still does not negate the fact that Rwanda is involved in this war and is on the side of the M23.
What does M23 plan to do now that they have captured Goma? Do they plan to move ahead, capture the towns? What is their ultimate goal?
President Kabila and the Congolese Armed Forces had smoked out the M23 when Tshisekedi took power in 2019. But the president of the Democratic Republic of Congo, Tshisekedi, made a mistake. And the mistake was to bring in the M23 as an alternative to the Congolese Armed Forces to ensure his protection.
Do you just say that President Tshisekedi actually brought in M23 to support him as an alternative army to the Congolese forces?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that the M23 had been smoked out by President Kabila, and the person who brought the M23 back into the fold, who brought them back into play, is President Tshisekedi himself, who brought them back into the Democratic Republic of Congo to begin working with him.
Why are you basing that?
These are facts from Tshisekedi's entourage himself, and also from the M23 themselves. They've said they were brought back to the Democratic Republic of Congo by the current president of the DRC.
There are some people who have accused the former president that he's partly involved with what we see. Are those accusations based on any merit?
President Kabila is not interested in an armed insurrection against the Congolese government. President Kabila is no way involved in any kind of military opposition, any kind of armed insurrection against the Congolese government. Kabila is nowhere close to any activities of that nature.
That was Zihandula Mulegwa, attorney who served as spokesman, former DRC President Joseph Kabila, speaking to VOA's Pauline Diho. South Africa's coalition government and citizens say they are shocked by U.S. President Donald Trump's announcement he will cut all American aid to the country. Trump said in a post on social media platform X on Sunday that the Southern African government is doing terrible things, including confiscating land, which he describes as a human rights violation. As Darren Taylor reports, the Pretoria government says it has not seized any land.
U.S. President Donald Trump says the South African government is treating certain classes of people very badly and that the United States won't stand for it. He says he'll be cutting off all future funding to South Africa. According to U.S. government data, it gave about $440 million in aid to South Africa in 2023, including for critical health programs credited with saving many lives from diseases, including HIV. Trump followed his post up with comments to reporters.
Terrible things are happening in South Africa. The leadership is doing some terrible things, with horrible things. So that's under investigation right now. We'll make a determination. And until such time as we find out what South Africa is doing, they're taking away land, they're confiscating land, and actually they're doing things that are perhaps far worse than that.
The South African civil rights group AfriForum last week informed the Trump administration that President Cyril Ramaphosa had signed a law that theoretically gives Pretoria the power to seize privately owned land. AfriForum representative Aaron Schrutz told VOA he considers the US president to be an important ally.
The dangerous game is not AfriForum. The dangerous game is the South African government passing laws that directly attack private property rights in this country. And also the dangerous game is the South African government having 141 race laws on the books.
South Africa's coalition government and many citizens, however, are shocked at Trump's comments. In a statement Monday, Pretoria said it has never confiscated private property and has no intention of doing so. Ramaphosa's office said on X that South Africa is a constitutional democracy that is deeply rooted in the rule of law. It also said the government looks forward to engaging with the Trump administration on our land reform policy and issues of bilateral interest. In recorded comments, International Relations Minister Ronald Lamola also said he hopes Trump's advisers understand South Africa's policies reflect its status as a constitutional democracy.
The expropriation law that has been referenced to is not an exception. Many parts of the world do have expropriation laws that are used in the public interest and for public purpose. In the US, it's called the eminent domain. In the UK, it's under various laws which the government uses from time to time in the national interest. And we look forward to engagement with our US counterparts on deepening the understanding of this law and also on various bilateral issues of mutual interest between the two countries.
More than 30 years after white minority rule ended, black South Africans own a small fraction of farmland, a situation many blame on the failure of government land reform. The Land Expropriation Act that Ramaphosa signed gives the government power to seize land without compensating owners, but only in circumstances where it's just and equitable and in the public interest to do so. This includes if the property isn't being used and there's no intention to either develop or profit from it. But some political parties, including those that are partners with the ANC in a coalition government, oppose the new law because they're concerned private property rights could be abused. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Staffers of the U.S. Agency for International Development have been told to stay out of the agency's Washington headquarters after billionaire Elon Musk announced President Donald Trump had agreed with him to shut the agency. That's according to a notice distributed to staffers early Monday. The Associated Press reports that Musk on Sunday said in an X post that USAID is a criminal organization. Time for it to die. USAID staffers said many employees reported being locked out of the agency's computer systems overnight. Those still in the system received emails saying that, at the direction of agency leadership, the headquarters building will be closed to agency personnel on Monday, February the 3rd. The agency is the primary distributor of U.S. foreign, humanitarian, and development aid. You're listening to Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America. The Trump administration continued making its case Sunday on the need for tariffs on imports from Canada, China, and Mexico. The three countries have threatened retaliatory measures, but say they are still open to dialogue and cooperation with the United States. VOA's Veronica Balderas Iglesias has the story.
The United States is set to impose tariffs on imports from Canada, China, and Mexico starting Tuesday. It argues those countries haven't done enough to stop the flow of fentanyl and illegal border crossings into the U.S. U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem commented on the matter Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press.
These countries have an opportunity to get on board with the President of the United States and to partner with us to deal with illegal immigration, to take back their individuals that have been in our country illegally.
Analysts warn the tariffs could result in price increases on fresh produce and automobile parts, among other commodities that Americans buy. U.S. President Donald Trump took to his Truth social media platform Sunday and acknowledged the potential disruptions, writing in part, "Will there be some pain? Yes, maybe, and maybe not. But we will make America great again, and it will all be worth the price that must be paid." Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem also addressed the matter during her appearance on NBC.
If prices go up, it's because of other people's reactions to America's laws.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau Saturday announced retaliatory measures, including 25% tariffs on U.S. goods if the Trump tariffs go into effect. But Trudeau's country still bets on bilateral cooperation. Canadian Ambassador to the U.S. Kirsten Hillman told ABC's This Week show.
We're going with officials from the White House, our police agency, to China in the coming days to try and grapple with the precursors issue. So it's hard to know what more we can do, but we're obviously open to any other suggestions that come our way.
Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum also called on the U.S. and Canada to continue working together to tackle the shared challenges, but announced on X that her country is ready to impose tariff and non-tariff retaliatory measures. China announced it will challenge the U.S. tariffs move at the World Trade Organization, but didn't specify what countermeasures it is considering and urged Washington to engage in dialogue. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
President Donald Trump's and Mexico's President Claudia Sheinbaum a short time ago both issued statements saying the tariffs on Mexico would be put on hold for a month. Sheinbaum also said that Mexico and the U.S. will be discussing security and business issues and that she will send Mexican security forces to the border to help fight illegal border crossings. You can find more on the issue on voanews.com. Ugandan officials are preparing to deploy a trial vaccine as part of efforts to stem an outbreak of Ebola in the capital, Kampala. On Sunday, the executive director of Uganda Virus Research Institute, Pantiono Kalibu, said a range of scientists are developing research protocols relating to the planned deployment of more than 2,000 doses of a candidate vaccine against the Sudan strain of the Ebola. The WHO said doses are being made available through clinical trial protocols to test for efficacy and safety. The Associated Press says that There are no approved vaccines for the Sudan strain of Ebola that killed a nurse employed at Kampala's main referral hospital. The man died on Wednesday, and authorities declared an outbreak the next day. Nigeria Afrobeat star Tems has won her second Grammy with her hit Love Me Jeje, seeing of a lineup heavily dominated by Nigerian artists vying for Best African Musical Performance. Her song won over Higher by Burna Boy, MMS by Asake and Wizkid, and Tomorrow by Yemi Alade. The French news agency AFP says Love Me Jeje has generated some 20 million views on YouTube. In her acceptance speech at the 67th Annual Grammy Awards in Los Angeles late Sunday, Tems, whose real name is Temeled Openeye, paid tribute to her mother. And now, I have our VOA sports analyst, Mokbele Yabaro, on Africa News Tonight today on our sports roundup. Thank you for being on the show, Mokbele.
Thanks for having me, Hayes.
So, big trade. Big trades in the world of basketball. The NBA had some big trades over the weekend. Please fill us on it.
Yeah, so we firstly have to talk about the Luka Doncic trade. Luka goes to the LA Lakers for Anthony Davis and some picks. He's leaving the Lakers and going to the Mavericks. Wow. This is one of the most unique and probably, I think, one of the biggest trades that I've seen in my lifetime personally, simply because Luka Doncic is what you call in the NBA a franchise player. He was on a supermax, and he is the quote-unquote one of the untouchables, right? When you look at a player that the franchise is supposed to build around, this is a team that just went to the NBA Finals this past year. You had tons of players being brought on to complement his game. And I don't know how the general manager of the Mavericks or the president or whoever wants to claim this call or this trade that they did with the Lakers and Rob Pelinka, what was the logic behind it? The league and the world at large is still really relatively confused. This is a 25-year-old player that you're trading off for an aging star in Anthony Davis. Now, if you're telling me that you want to win now, Anthony Davis could potentially be the guy, but it still doesn't make sense because you just went to the finals. So very confusing. Another huge trade, another untouchable, De'Aaron Fox from the Sacramento Kings, who was their franchise player, is also about 24, 25 years old, gets traded to the San Antonio Spurs. So very, very confusing stuff happening in the world of basketball, but it made for great news over the weekend. Big splash.
Confusing trades. In the English Premier League, there were some big football matches. Which one made the most noise over the weekend, Mokbele?
Yeah, his big clash happened on Sunday at the Emirates for Arsenal. Arsenal versus Manchester City. Arsenal 5, Manchester City 1. Big blowout. The last time these two faced at the Etihad, which is Manchester City Stadium, and ended up 2-2 with the famous quote that Erling Haaland, the striker for Man City, told the Arsenal manager, stay humble. And they were playing Be Humble by Kendrick Lamar in the stadium after the game ended. So 5-1, huge, huge win for them. Liverpool was still able to continue and keep that pace that they have at the top of the table by beating Bournemouth 2-0. And Aston Villa goes down and loses to the Wolves 2-0, as well as Manchester United losing again against Crystal Palace 2-0.
And lastly, Mokbele, what did winning the Australian Open do for the American Madison Keys?
I think this is huge for her. This is the first time she's ranked under the top 10, in the top 10 in the world since 2023. She goes from being ranked number 14th to number 7 in the world rankings, having beat the world number 2 and the world number 1 in her reign. So I think this is huge for her. I think this will get her some huge endorsements, and we're excited to see where this takes American tennis, women's tennis.
Thank you, Mokbele. And with that, we wrap up this edition of African News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Mokbele Yabaro, and our engineer, Keila Williams, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.